All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Soldiers for Christ, all the international family. We're going to pray in and get started in the Word of God. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead and pray us in.
Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this precious day made like no other, dear Lord. We come together, dear Jesus, just to commune with you as a family, dear Lord, and for those that are listening abroad, dear Lord, we pray for open hearts ready to receive your word today. We pray for Pastor Sandy, dear Lord, that you continue to feed him. Let him feast on your word, dear Jesus. Feast on the understanding, dear Lord. Explain to him, dear Lord, so that he, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, can explain the word to us. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have given us the privilege to study for ourselves, dear Lord, as it is shared, dear Lord, that we take down those scriptures and that we take the proper time to go back and study. But we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you for Pastor Sandy. We thank you for this opportunity. Let us join and sup together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Israel.
Okay. Amen. Have a seat, everybody. Wonderful, eternal family. I love it. Oh, the glare is from the door. All right. Oh, that is nice. Wow. Yeah, that is beautiful.
You got your glasses?
Huh? I got my glasses right here. Hallelujah. Good fathers. Tighten my belt up here.
You got your microphone.
Huh? It's got a little puffy red thing on it.
Somebody don't know where it's at.
All right. Perfect.
There we go.
Hallelujah.
And you're live.
I'm live? Oh, yeah, I've been live, huh? Okay, let's get started in the Word of God today. I hope you guys are ready.
Pastor Sandy, I apologize. We can't, no.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking, I was like, this is going to throw my suit off.
Yeah, we can't.
We got a coordinate.
Yeah, there we go. There you go.
You remember that movie?
Coordinate.
Crazy. Well, I'm thankful everybody's here. I'm glad to have people to preach to in the season of lies.
Amen.
As they tell people to stay home. All right. Here we go. We are ready to start the Word of God. And we are, God is continually showing me more and more evidence of a soon departure. I had a dream. I woke up and told Dre I had a dream about my mom. And she said my name in the dream. And then we hugged. And then she said, I wouldn't have been able to hug you because we didn't have our bodies at first. And I went, oh, she's in a resurrected body now. Ah, that means the dead in Christ receive their bodies first. Remember. So I had a dream, and my mom said, I can't say my name the way my mother says it, but it almost made me cry in my dream. But I was in heaven, and she said, I couldn't have hugged you before because we didn't have our bodies yet. And that made me go, oh, the resurrected body, that means it's time. And so the Lord keeps showing me and showing me all of these things, trying to get me ready and prepared and to keep preaching and to keep people ready. And we're going to talk about people who are ready and people who are not ready. Why wouldn't people be ready? What's the purpose of, what is the number one, if I want you to stay ready, what is the number one instruction I would give you? Watch, right? Keep watching, because as soon as you stop watching, you're not going to be ready, right? So who wants you not to watch?
The enemy.
Thank you. And so, we're going to talk about, first of all, the book of Acts. And this is right after Jesus Christ had resurrected. Well, it's actually about 40 days after. And well, that is exactly 40 days after, according to the Bible. So I don't want to say about. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to go in your Bibles to the book of Acts. And I want you to be in chapter 1. As we talk about this, I believe we are on a very short time before the rapture of the church.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm so excited every day. I'm thinking like, Drew, I'll tell you, I'll be around. I said, well, we got about a month left. But because I really believe we're out of here. When I found that Heshbon meant check. I was like, it is time to leave this restaurant. Heshvan Babakasha, give me my check, please. So, in the book of Acts, what we're looking at is we're looking at the time when Jesus had already resurrected and the apostles are standing around. He's going to hang out with them for about 40 days. And I'll explain the 40 days. So, because we got a gang of people do prophecies about the 40 days, and it's a simple thing, okay? And it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. Now, when it says he was taken up to heaven, it uses a word called analambano, okay? And we got to talk about these words because the Greek is a very precise language, okay? And the Greek tells you exactly what it's saying. Greek is not like English, okay? English says, Pastor Ben, I love you. Pastor Ben goes, I love you too, Sandy. Now, you guys have no idea what we just meant, right?
Right.
But you are assuming they just mean they love each other as brothers in Christ or that. Now, if I say I'm intimately in love with you, right? Yeah. That's different. You're like, whoa, hold up. I need a new church. Right?
Amen.
So Greek is like this. Greek don't have just one word for love because they don't want people confused.
Right.
Okay. So if they intimately love you, they have a whole different word for being intimately in love than they have with brotherly love,
right.
Okay? And so there you have a language that is so specific that you're not going to get confused by what word is being used because Greeks aren't like English. They don't use one word for everything,
right.
Okay? They use the exact word that means exactly what I mean, okay? Like the scripture that says, a woman shall not speak in church. She must wait until she gets home and ask her husband. Mm-hmm. Now, a bunch of crazy pastors read that and went,
crazy.
Look, women are not allowed to speak in church. So when women came in, they went, be quiet and go sit over there and you can't talk. If you have a question, ask your husband at home. And you still got pastors that believe that today.
Really?
Yeah, they tell them you can't speak in church. You can't, or you can't stand near the pulpit either. You, now, the word in the Greek meant, okay, there's many, when we say you can't speak, it's just one word to talk, right? When they say speak, there's words for speaking in a message, speaking, but there's one word spoken about the women at that time that says you cannot haleo in church. Now, what does haleo mean? Speak out of order. Because in the Jewish church, they kept the women separate from the men, and the men were here and the women were over there, right? And they were behind a curtain. I went to a church, they still do this to the day, okay? And so the women were coming from behind where they were to go ask their husband questions in the middle of the service. And so the apostle wrote, A woman shall not speak out of turn in church, but she must wait till she gets home and ask her husband a question there, right? The whole thing was about keeping order in the church so that people aren't leaving one area to go ask someone a question in the other area while service is going on. Right. It was about order, not telling people you can't talk, okay? But, you know, somebody want to take something. Mm-hmm. I can rule over people with this. Ha ha. You know, that's like the evil pastor, right? So women are allowed to speak in church. And if they have something to teach you, let them teach you, right? The scripture says don't speak out of order. All right. Amen. So here we are. So I said that to because what we have to explain here is something that is going on. OK, so here we go once again. I needed to tell you that because once we get to this, you're going to need to know that. OK, and it says in verse 2, until the day he was taken up to heaven. OK, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostle he had chosen. After his suffering, and I would like to say, it says after his passion. So suffering is a bad word to use here. If your Bible says after his suffering, he did suffer, but it was his passion. A better word to use there in the Greek meant after his passion, because it was his passionate desire to go to the cross to save us. And it says, after his passion, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proof that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speaking about. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he's with them for 40 days. 40 days is just representing the amount of time that Christ, because he stayed with them for 40 days, then he left. Yeah. But now he's going to leave for 40 jubilees, and he's going to come. You understand? Yeah. So it's just the opposite. Now, it says, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has set in his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so they asked him a question. What was the question? Are you about to restore Jerusalem? Are you about to take us from under the leadership of this Roman government? Is that what you're about to do now? And he says, it's not for you to know the times and the season, nor the time and the dates, which my Father has set in his own authority, right?
Right.
So here, some Christians will take this and say, see, we're not supposed to be watching for the rapture. That would be wrong. Because the same person that's telling them that the dates and the times are in authority of his Father is the same Jesus that told them this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. I got to remember to preach sometime and not be a teacher, because it takes a long time to be a teacher. Amen. You start explaining everything. You want to, too. Okay, now listen to this. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, no one knows about the day or the hour. This is Jesus talking, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, always want to explain, perilambano, as a friend or companion of God. and the other one, Alpheme, which means to be left or divorced from God. It says two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other one left. So he's telling you about an event that's going to happen in the world, and it's going to be just as it was in the days of Noah, right? Therefore, keep watch. This is Jesus still talking. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the night of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour which you do not expect. So he continues to tell him to watch. Watch and pray, because you do not know the hour. Now, by you telling me, first of all, it is not for you to know the exact day and hour that the Lord is going to come. It's not for you to know. But then previously I'm telling you, but watch and pray so that this day does not overtake you unexpectedly, right? So is that kind of like a separation of what Jesus Christ is saying? Or is he telling you, he's telling you two different things. The Father knows the exact day and the hour. Your job is to watch so that it doesn't take you by surprise. So when Christians tell you, why are you watching for the rapture? Why? Because Jesus told me to. Well, you don't know the day and the hour. What does that have to do with me doing what Jesus told me to do?
Right.
He still told me to watch, to keep an eye on what's going on. Because if these people had kept an eye on what's going on, you know what? They would have said, hey, it's getting cloudy, and that guy who built the boat is closing the door. They would have been watching, right? But those were the people that didn't watch. They didn't see, oh, look, water's coming out of the sky. I've never seen that before. That's peculiar. That's not watching. You understand? So that we are called to watch so that the day doesn't take us by surprise. They're calling out to Noah to throw us a rope, let us in, open the door. If they had been watching while the door was wide open, because God said the door was open until he closed it, if they had been watching, they could have got on the boat a long time ago.
Yep.
Especially when the clouds came. Mm. But since they weren't watching for the clouds, they were just going about their business. So it is not a wise thing for Christians to not watch.
Amen.
Okay, someone says, will people get raptured if they don't believe in a rapture, if they're not watching for the rapture? I think if they're a good Christian or not, I still think it's very unwise to not be watching.
That's right.
Okay, because this day is going to come, and it's going to come unexpectedly to people who are living in darkness. People who are living in light are supposed to be watching. Okay, now, I want us to understand in the book of Acts, when God said Jesus stayed there for 40 days and then he was taken up, it does not use the word harpazo. Okay? Jesus does not get harpazo. Harpazo is the word we use for rapturo or raptured. Okay? So in the book of Acts, it says it three times that Jesus was taken up. And it's using analambano, or another Greek word that says aparo, which means he ascended up. Okay? So what happens when we get to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 4? And here we are in verse 17. And it says here, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be harpazo, caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Now, harpazo means something completely different. What does it mean? To be forcibly grabbed and snatched up. So that means that Jesus Christ was not forcibly grabbed and snatched up. Jesus Christ ascended up. He took himself up. He rose and he left. And then a cloud covered him and no one could see him. But he says, it's not going to be the same way with you. This is a whole nother word. He said, you're going to be walking around minding your own business, watching, and one day God's just going to snatch you up. You won't have any say in it. It won't be time enough for you to make a decision. When he takes you, you're done. And it's lechach. In the Greek, in the Hebrew, it's lechach, which means I'm taking you, okay? This is by force, like the angels took wives for themselves, okay? They took by force,
yes.
Okay? Lechach. So the word being taken by force and the word ascending, which is what Jesus did.
Yes.
So Jesus ascended up into heaven. He was not harpazoed, okay? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. One of the great watchmen, he was at the time, but and I'm still praying for what his name was. Scotty? Scotty Clark, and I'm still praying for him because he got away from the gospel because, you know, it's a sad thing because when it comes to being obedient and preaching the gospel, preaching the rapture, if God gives you a revelation and you teach it, then if you start getting famous, you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so famous. People are calling me, people want me to preach at their church. You know, the first thing Scotty Clark did when he started preaching Revelation chapter 12 was he called me. And he sent me this picture, this poster of a boat in 2017 and rapture and why. And I was like, this is awesome, man. Thank you. God's been telling me, and this is 2017, it's great. We're both watching. But let's pump the brakes, I said to Scotty. They're not going to love you if it don't happen, because I've been through this in 2010. You're going to get stoned. If the rapture don't happen, they're going to stone you because they think you're saying you're a prophet and you're trying to tell them you're a watchman, okay? And don't start thinking you're a prophet. I'm trying to save you from what I've been through. God said, I never called you to be a prophet. All my prophets are done. I called you to be a watchman, okay? So I'm trying to explain to him, but then when it didn't happen, and I said, and plus I don't even believe in the Rosh Hashanah rapture, and so when it didn't happen, oh, I can't even read to you some of the ugly things that people who said, you're the best teacher ever, God bless you, I love you, sent you a check, love you, to Scotty. The same people is like, you're the low down, dirtiest, false prophet I've ever met. I was like, oh, these are the same people. But I was trying to explain to him that this is what happens. Some people are looking for the rapture because they're in love with escaping what's coming. But they don't love Jesus, but they like the messengers in him, right? So I'm just telling you, they may not treat you the same, okay? We're watchmen. I cannot but tell you what God tells me to tell you.
That's right.
I cannot but bark if I see a burglar coming. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's my job.
Right.
I'm sitting there being quiet. I might as well be a cat. Burglar come in, I go, meow. Burglar like it, now back, putting stuff in the bag, you know what I mean? I want to be a watchman, right? I got to bark. So I'm just saying, look, we have to watch and pray. You see, I don't try to do that. I'm sorry. Let's get back to the word. So now watch this as we go through here. Okay. It says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heavens, a woman clothed in the sun with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars over her head, on her head. And she was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman and was about that who was about to give birth, so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule over the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was harpazoed up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled in the desert to a place prepared for her by God. Now, first, let's talk about what didn't happen. After Jesus' resurrection, Mary did not have to flee to the wilderness.
Right.
So this might not be talking about Jesus. Okay? Another thing, it says her male child was harpazoed up to heaven. That means he was snatched up, raptured, which Acts says that never happened to Jesus.
Right.
He ascended himself up to heaven. So who is this male child that's going to be snatched up?
The church.
And Israel has to run to the desert to get help from God. Because now they're in trouble. When? In the tribulation. So this is a double prophecy, not only talking about the birth of Christ, but giving you also an insight to what's going to happen with the church. Because Israel is about to give birth to a child. But this child is not Jewish. This child is not Jesus. Giving birth, and this is what the Lord told me in 2017. I'm about to birth my child out of the world. And when the Lord tells you something like that, you're like, wait a minute. Children get birthed into the world. What do you mean you're going to birth your child out of the world? And God was trying to show me I'm going to birth the church out of the world because Israel is about to have a male child. And now I didn't understand any of that prophecy, and we got into studying. So it has to be a male child, right? And he gets harpazoed. So let's go back to... let's go to first to Isaiah 66, okay? Because that'll help us first. I'm getting to why we only have a month or so left. And when we leave, I don't want anybody on the way up say, how did you know? I'm going to say, I didn't. I was just showing the scripture that God gave me. So watch here. In Isaiah 66, verse 6, is watch this. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before pains came upon her, she delivered a what? A male child, a son. Okay? Now, what is the problem here? Before she goes into pain or any labor, she gives birth. Before any pain comes upon her, she gives birth to a male child. That means Israel has not gone into the tribulation to deliver her children. Israel has not received any pain, yet she's given birth to a male child. And this male child is going to be harpazoed up to heaven. Who's the male child? The church. So he's trying to show you an example that Israel is going to give birth to a child, because without Israel, the church don't exist. Because without Israel and Mary, we don't have a Jesus. So since we have a mother-in-law, you know what I mean? Since we have a mother, the church has a mother, and the mother of the church is the nation of Israel. Without Israel, there is no birth of a male child. But we are waiting in the earth, what for? For the birthing of the church out of the world. Okay? Now, listen to this. It says, so before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pain came upon her, she delivered a male child. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? Can a country be born in one day or a nation be brought forth in one moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor, now Israel goes in labor, than she gives birth to her children. So it says after she goes through labor, she's going to give birth to who? To her children. Well, who's the first one she gave birth with no pain?
Church.
The church. So these are the things that God's trying to show you. Now watch this as God shows you this. In Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. We're going to stop right there. After Israel gives birth to the church,
7 years.
How long will it be before she's cleansed so that she can be connected to God?
7 years.
7 years of tribulation, right? So the 7 days, 7 years, it's like 4,000 years, 4 days, 4 months for Moses, 400 years, everything, 4. So what God is saying, in 7 days, after she gives birth to a male child, she is unclean for 7 days. So until after the tribulation, Israel will be considered unclean, because then at that time, she'll call out to God and Jesus will come and rescue them. So God is always prophesying to us throughout the scripture about the same event that is coming, unless it's possible for a woman to have birth without any pain. And I'm not talking about modern time with all your shots and stuff, because, you know, you can do it now. You're like, oh, that was wonderful. I didn't feel nothing, you know. But those days aren't back then. Those days didn't exist. OK. Amen. And if anybody has a child these days without all the shots and C-sections, you'll go, hey, that's impossible.
Right.
Been there, done that. Ain't nobody giving birth to no kid with no pain, right? So Israel is going to have a child before the tribulation. But the tribulation is going to happen once she gives birth to the church. Okay, one more. And Exodus chapter 22, and I looked at this morning, and so I have no idea what I'm about to read, but I kind of remember because the Lord said read that. Exodus chapter 22 verse 29 and 30. It says, do not hold back offerings from your increase, okay, or your VAT. It says, you must give me the firstborn of your sons. Do the same with your cattle and your sheep. Let them stay with you, with their mothers for 7 days, but give them to me on the eighth day. You understand that? So after you have, you're doing good, man. I would have been worse. Hey, look, so a mother gives birth to a son, right? She says, if it's a son, you can hold on to that son for 8 days, but on the eighth day, you have to take it and give it to God on the eighth day. So understand this eighth day, what God is prophesying to us about the reason why he's made Heshvan the eighth month is because a male child must be given to God on the eighth. You understand? So if Israel gives birth to a child, that child must be given to God. In what month? In Heshvan, on the eighth. Is it perfect or is it not? Okay. Now, I want to try to explain something to you guys, and I don't want to mess up. Thank you for this marker and everything, okay? Because we're pretty much Bible students here, right? I'm learning, you guys are learning, and being a Bible student is a wonderful thing. Why do we have 66 books? Mother Brenda. No, I'm just... Why do we have the 66 books?
22 times 3.
Because you have 22 Hebrew letters. Did you know that? See, I didn't know that either. I used to be like, the white man took out some of the books. Stupid. Just stupid stuff, because you don't know, right? So you just like, you do what other people tell you, right? You say what other people say. So there are 22 Hebrew letters. Oh, look at this marker. Pastor Ben gave me. Let me get me another. Now I got a whole bag though, Pastor Ben. Okay, here you go. 22.
Okay.
So there's 22 Hebrew letters. Is God a Trinity or not?
Yes.
Okay. He's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we go 3 times 22 equals 66 books. That's why you have 66 books. Okay? Now, every book represents a Hebrew letter, okay? The eighth letter of the eighth book of the Bible is what? Ruth. I'm just trying to let you know why Heshvan is the eighth month right now, okay? The eighth book of the Bible is Ruth. Then you get to 22 and you got to count 8 more. And the eighth book after that would be what? Amos. Then you count up to 22, and then you got to start 1, 2, 3, and you get to what? First Thessalonians. And so these are your 8 books in the Bible. That's your 3 8s. What that look like? Jesus, 888. So these books are talking about a Jesus event. All right? Now, what does Ruth talk about? What is the wonderful thing about the book of Ruth? Does anybody get married in the book of Ruth?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus gets married in the book of Ruth. You guys go, Jesus, what are you talking about? There's a guy by the name of Boaz. And Boaz is a kinsman redeemer. He falls in love with a Gentile woman. And this Jewish guy ends up marrying this Gentile woman, and a marriage takes place. Now, let me tell you something that is, if you're a Hebrew student, this is really cool. In the book of Genesis, after man sins, in Genesis chapter 3, now, in chapter 2, it says, in Genesis chapter 2, it says, these are the generations of mankind. And it's spelled with a vav, this letter right here, which means salvation. So you have the word generation, but it has this letter in it. After Genesis chapter 3, God takes this letter out of Teledot. So he says, these are the generations of man. After in chapter 5 of Genesis, it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam, but it takes out the Vav. Why does it take out the Vav? Because Vav is the letter that connects man to God. So you spell generations after chapter 3 in Genesis, you spell generations, but God takes out salvation. When does God add salvation back in? When Boaz marries Ruth. Then he writes, oh, now these are the generations of the descendants of Boaz and Ruth. Wow. So now he adds the vav back into generations to say this is salvation has come to man again, because their child, the 10th generation from their child, is going to be David, and from David comes who? Jesus. So the beginning of salvation happened with who? Boaz and Ruth. So it's here in Ruth that God adds salvation back in, and a marriage, because a marriage happens between a Gentile and a Jew. Okay? Now, let's go to the book of Amos. I'm sorry I said it, because Amos is hard to find, but you're on your own. Oh man, I gotta make sure I don't tell jokes. This is serious, because I had a good one right there. Okay. If you're in the book of Amos, I'm going to read something in Amos chapter 3, verse 6. You're Amos chapter 3, verse 6? Now, this is what the scripture is saying. The Lord was speaking to me. He says, when the trumpet sounds in a city, do the people tremble? The Lord was asking me this question. And yours, in your Bible, might say, when a trumpet sounds in a city, do the people tremble? They should. Are the people trembling over what's going on now? Because they know something's wrong. They have hopes of things getting back to normal, but they know that something's wrong. Now watch this. It says, when the trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. So what's going to happen has been written in the word of God. So if you're being lied to in this 2020 year, it was already written in Psalms 120. Okay? And it says here, the lion has roared, who will not fear? The sovereign Lord has spoken, who cannot but prophesy? So if the word says it, what are we supposed to do? Speak it. This is why I'm telling you, look, God spoke to me, so I'm speaking to you, okay? God showed me what? Now, did God speak to me because I ate donuts and went to bed? No. I had a dream, and God, Lord said, no, I'm speaking to you what God showed me in his word. When I say God speaks to me, I'm like this. God speaks to me. It's like, Lord, speak to me, please. I need to hear from you.
Yep.
He hands you a Bible, right? This is how God speaks to me. And God told me, I will only speak to you through my word. So what I say to you, I have to know it's in the Bible first before I tell it to you. This is why when God flips the calendar back, I'm going, Father God, why did you flip the calendar that Nisan, the beginning of salvation and grace, becomes the first month, and your judgment and the end of grace becomes the eighth month? Why did you flip the Bible, the months like that? And the Lord said, let me show you. Because he's always going to, it's like you ask a simple question and God goes, and you go all the way under the water, and you're like, you're so deep, you're like, thank you. You got a towel, right? It's like he shows you in a deep way, okay? Like me asking God for a Mother's Day message. And God wanted to show me all the prophecies of all the mothers in the Bible who had children, but only through the help of God. And he says, there's seven of them. And I got to show you the numerical values and what they meant. And I go, by the time I finished, I had a great Mother's Day message, but I had to go underwater to get that. You understand? So with this, God is showing me, I flipped the calendars upside down, because there's a beginning in the first month and there's an ending in the eighth month. And I already showed you the ending. What's the ending? The flood happened in what? In the month of Heshvan, which is now the eighth month. So God is trying to show us the same pattern that Jesus said you're going to see. You're about to see it because it's the 120th year, and the eighth month is not far from you.
Amen.
The 17th of Heshvan. Okay, let's go. Praise God. Okay, now I'm still in Amos, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Amos chapter 5, verse 18. This is a warning to all the Jewish nation and a wake-up call to all Christians, because the Jewish nation are celebrating. You know why they're celebrating? Mashiach is here. How do you, who's Mashiach? Donald Trump. Man, you've never been so off in your life. That's what I want to say. But they believe it. The most powerful man in the world is doing great things for Israel. He must be the coming Messiah. No, he's not. And so Amos is warning them by saying this: woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Now, they long for the day of who? Messiah. They want the Messiah. We want Messiah now, they say in a song. We want Mashiach Akshav. We want him right now to come, okay? But God is saying, why are you asking for the Messiah? Listen, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? The day of the Lord will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. Stop, because you got to understand that. The lion was Great Britain. They were able to overcome Great Britain and get back the nation of Israel. So the lion was conquered. But now Russia is going to attack Israel. So now they're going to escape from the bear.
Only
to do what? Only, it says, only to meet a bear as though he enters a house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. So after God conquers the bear, Israel is going to get this peace deal. And the Antichrist is going to come. And they're going to say, look, God has rescued you from the lion, from Great Britain. Now he's rescued you from attack from Gog and Magog, Russia. So relax now. Rest your hands, peace and safety. Mm. Only to get bit by what? A snake. So this is talking about you're asking for the Messiah, but you're about to enter into what? Tribulation. And the tribulation is not light, it's darkness.
Right.
This is a wonderful thing. I was watching a movie with Drea last night. It's called Mr. Church. And one verse in the end of the movie just hooked me. It says, books are meant to be read from beginning to end, but they're better understood if you read from the end to the beginning. Because if you start at the end, you'll know what the conclusion of the whole matter is. See, if I wrote the book, right now I would say there was thousands upon thousands of people that landed in heaven on a cloud. That would be the beginning of my book. But really, it's the end.
Right.
Thousands upon thousands of people were pulled up by the great branch into the heavens, and they were dancing and partying, and thousands upon angels were standing around them as they were dancing. That would be the beginning of my book, so that, because you won't understand that you've been pulled out of sin and somebody died for you and blood was shed and all this. I don't want you to know that. I want you to see the end first. When I was doing the security for Nicolas Cage up there, when he would get a script in, I would start reading the script because I was writing scripts at the time, right? I always start reading a script at the end because I want to know the end first. And that's what God did for us when he showed us the flood before he showed us the lamb coming and dying for our sins. He showed us the flood first. He showed us the rescue. Eight people on an ark being rescued from destruction. That's the end of the book. Millions of people dancing on a cloud with angels standing around and partying and screaming out, "Hallelujah, Jesus." Yeah. That's the end of the book. Now, if you want to know the details, let's go backwards from there. Mm-hmm. And then as we go backwards, we went, oh my goodness, he died 2,000 years before this event happened. So that those people who are not worthy were made worthy by the blood that he shed on that cross. Yeah. But why did he have to shed the blood? Let's go back further into the book. Oh, he had to shed the blood because this person sinned and this Satan entered the world and started dispersing different sins into human beings.
Yeah.
And somebody had to come and save them from all of these sins that were in the world.
Yeah.
Were they bad people? No, they were infected by a disease called sin, and he had to come and rescue them so he can bring them out of this world into a better world till he cleans this one up.
Yeah.
It would be a great book, right?
Yeah,
but we'd have to start from the end. I'm excited about the end of the book.
Yeah.
Because I know the beginning to the end, but I'm telling you, this God said, I tell the end before the beginning. God told you the happiness of what's about to happen before he told you who had to come and who had to rescue.
Yeah.
Okay?
3 minutes.
It's going to be a great party. You know what I mean? And if you don't know the whole story, once you get there, you know what I mean? If you don't know the whole story, somebody's going to have to take you back. To appreciate what happened, somebody's going to have to take you back.
Yeah.
Okay? Dancing and partying is that's a great movie. We could just go in and go home. But there's a whole storyline that comes to it.
Yeah.
It's better understood from the end to the beginning. So we are about to experience the end. Why are they calling for Messiah? Do you know that Amos was warning? You know who his warning was came out to? To Jeroboam. His warning was to Jeroboam. Who was Jeroboam? Jeroboam was a false king ruling over the Jewish people because they didn't want David. And he told all the people of Israel in the 8th month, we're going to have a party on the Samech year, 15, which is the 120. So in the scripture, it says Jeroboam came out in the 8th month and gave a party for all the people of Israel, and they partied with Jeroboam. And he said he pulled out the golden statues of an ox that he had made, just like they did in Moses' days. He made two of them and had the people dancing around the golden statue as what happened before. So Jeroboam was a wicked king, but he comes in the 8th month and all the people of Israel love him and he throws them a party. In the 8th month on the Samech day, which is the 120th. So God is like, I'm prophesying to you about what's coming all the time, because I'm trying to get you prepared and ready, because the end of the book is about to happen. It's a wonderful thing. And we can go back and look at the process of the story once we get there and appreciate it, because we will know what God did in each one of our individual lives. Because Pastor Ben had problems, and his problem, I won't tell you his problem, but he had some problems. I'm just thankful he's still with us, right? I had some problems. I probably should have been dead long time ago, right? Everybody has problems, and somebody rescued us to give us the end of the book, and we're so close to it, I can't wait. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.